The opinions expressed in Asian Wave are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. That being said, thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Have you ever heard of Asian Wave?
No. What is that?
What are the latest fashion trends in Japan?
You wouldn't believe what happened to
New Jeans.
Oh, can you go for some hot pot right now?
From the catchy tunes of K-pop to the captivating worlds of anime, video games, and the delicious flavors of ramen and boba, East Asian culture has been making a huge impact on the world around us. But what's exactly behind these trends, and how are they shaping our daily lives? Hi, I'm Annika.
I'm Beth.
I'm Ohana.
And I'm Neo.
And welcome back to Asian Wave, where we explore the rise of Asian pop culture and its global influence. And today we're joined by a very special guest. We're joined by Jasper, and we'll be diving into our experiences growing up in Asian immigrant families. So, you know us, hopefully. We're going to start off with Jasper. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hey everyone, my name is Jasper and I'm Korean and I'm also in media production as others. And I listen to your podcast. I have really a lot of things that's related to me. So I'm really excited to be here.
Ooh, everyone, please welcome Jasper.
Ooh. Welcome Jasper. Yeah.
And we're back for a second season. So, Yahoo! Yeah, for just a refresher, I just want to ask everyone about their background. So who would like to start off first?
I can go.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm Ohana and I am Korean Filipino.
I'm Neo. I'm a half black and half Asian and I'm Filipino on my Asian side.
I'm Beth and I'm fully Korean. I was born in Korea and I moved here when I was in grade 5 and 6.
I'm Annika. I'm fully Filipino, and I was born in the Philippines, and then I moved here when I was 2. So I was completely raised in Canada.
And I'm Jasper, and I'm fully Korean. It's just I was born in Vancouver, and then I moved to South Korea when I was 7, and then I lived there until the age of 13, and then I came back to Canada, and I've been living here ever since.
Yeah, so kind of just going more in depth, how about everyone kind of explain their immigrant stories? Because for some of us, we're here to study internationally. For others, we're either first or second or even third gen immigrants. So I guess starting off for me, my entire family immigrated here to Canada in 2008, you know, just in search for a better life. They wanted my brother and I to get educated, and also because the healthcare in the Philippines was really bad as well. A lot of it is very privatized and unaffordable for most Filipinos. And just the political climate in the Philippines was really bad at the time, so they wanted to immigrate here in Canada because we also had family here as well. But yeah.
I'm Neo. I was born and raised in Canada, but my mom immigrated here from the Philippines when she was 6 years old. My family's from Metro Manila, the main city in the Philippines. And she's the youngest of 7 siblings. So some of her older brothers already immigrated before the rest of her family, and then they just followed them over.
Yeah. My family also came to Canada partly because of political climate. My grandparents brought my mom here to Canada when she was 2 years old from the Philippines due to the Marcos dictatorship at the time. And my Korean father moved to Canada for my mom and I. And I think Beth and Jasper will definitely go into it deeper, but that was partly due to the education system and how kids are raised in Korea. Yeah.
Mm. Do either of you guys want to kind of branch out from that?
Yeah, so basically, I'm not like a immigrant, but still, my parents decided to move to the other country to study abroad because of these Korean societies are like really having a bad influence for the study, studying environment. So, my dad, he was studying in USA when he was really young, and he had a really good experience from that, so he wanted to let us move to the other country, like especially Canada or USA. And my mom, she also had really a bad experience from being basically failed by not getting into university at first try. So that's why they decided to move here. And yeah, and now I'm just studying here as an international student.
Oh. And Jasper, do you also want to talk about your background as well?
Yeah, I spent half of my life in Korea and half of my life in Canada. So compared to the life I'm living right now, the life I had in Korea was really just focused on education. So I would just go to school, and right after school, I would go to academy. There's different academy for a different subject. So I would usually go to math, English, and Korean.
Hagwon?
Yeah, it's Hagwon, and there's math. There's multiple Hagwons for different subjects. Mm-hmm. So I used to go each subject for each day. So Monday would be dedicated to math. The other days would be English, Korean, science, all those things. And compared to that, here is pretty much self-taught, I would say. So you watch YouTube, or you just go through the lesson you had. So it's really different than Korea, and I feel
Kumon.
Yeah, the Kumon thing.
Kumon.
International trauma.
Everyone
has trauma from Kumon.
Yeah. I remember going to Korea when I was younger, and my cousins who were in school at the time, they would be in school, so I didn't see them. They'd come home, and then they'd go right back to school, like Jasper said.
Yeah.
So
I guess the educational systems in Asia are much more intense than here in Western countries. I remember, honestly, my mom has complained a lot about how harder they were on my brother growing up in elementary school compared to how they were now. Even in the way they teach math is very different. And I know there's certain hierarchies even in the educational system in the Philippines. Depending on your intelligence, they would literally rank you.
Yeah, it's the same in Korea too, no? Mm-hmm. You get ranked.
Yeah. Oh. By the numbers, yeah.
That's interesting. So what did your household look like growing up, whether it was just language or food or traditions? What were some of the things that you were kind of taught growing up?
I liked when Neo and you talked about the food thing.
Oh, the food? So in the Philippines, we place a lot of importance on New Year's. There's a lot of New Year's traditions and a lot of, how do I say it, myths or practices that we do. One of them, for example, is on New Year's, we have 12 different round fruits. I don't know why specifically rounds, what the significance of that
is.
It's
just a bunch of superstitions.
Yeah.
I feel
it's just a bunch of superstitions.
They can't even be explained. It's just...
Yeah. And we place them in a bowl in the center of the table, and we do that every single year.
Yeah.
There's so many superstitions.
So one my family does is all my titas and titos, they always make sure you jump at midnight so you grow taller.
Yeah.
They really want us to grow tall.
And it worked for you?
Maybe.
One of the things that my mom always told me on New Year's is to put money in your pocket for until midnight so that you would get rich this year. It's never worked.
It's never
worked. Oh, one thing that I'm not sure if it's Filipino, but my mom said that it's our thing that we're not supposed to count money on a table.
Really?
Oh, really?
I've never heard of that before. Wait, why is that?
Not sure. Apparently, it's just bad luck.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
You shouldn't
one before.
Do it. Counting money.
Oh, it's like us. It's like don't write your name with your red pen.
Is that a thing?
Oh, what's the thing?
Because it's that people's name are written with red.
Oh,
red so you don't want to die, so you don't write it in red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
And also number four.
Yeah, the number four.
Yeah,
I've seen that
it's
one.
It's a Chinese character.
Yeah.
Cha. So it's Chinese characters in Korean. It's death is a sa.
Yeah.
So it's sa is it's basically four in Korean.
So it's an unlucky number.
My mom
number.
Doesn't the number four because of that.
Really?
Yeah.
So because every time you go to old building, if you want to press number four in an elevator, it says F, either instead of four.
Is it like how they don't have
the 13th floor?
Because it's like, a bed lug.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like how it's a 13th
floor. Yeah, I think like buildings don't have a 13th floor.
To like a Chinese hotel, they don't have like the number 4
floors.
Okay.
It's like when I was watching Hunter x Hunter and Hisoka came on and my dad was like, oh, that's death.
Hisoka's
number was 44.
Hisoka's so crazy. Another tradition that I had growing up, I guess like religion is a very important thing in Filipino culture. So I was raised in a very Catholic family. So we put a lot of importance on Good Friday. And one of the traditions that we did was visit Saglesia, where we kind of went around to like 7 different churches, praying the Stations of the Cross. And then we would come back to someone's house to like celebrate and eat like seafood dinner because we weren't allowed to eat like meat. On Good Friday, it's kind of just like a very Catholic Christian thing to do.
For our Catholic tradition, we did kind of fasting, no devices as well. We dedicated it to, I guess, time with family or praying.
That's a good thing to instill.
Yeah.
My family should do that. They're just like chronically on our screens.
Another thing that comes to mind when it comes to growing up with traditions is making kimchi every year.
Okay.
My dad would bring me and my 2 little sisters to our family friends, and it was this whole big process, and we'd eat the homemade fresh kimchi with
bosam.
Bosam, it's so good.
So we're going to Ohana's house after, and we're having kimchi.
I'm having fresh kimchi.
Bosam is basically steamed pork, and it's so like soft, so when you have it with kimchi...
It's heavenly. And you wrap it in the lettuce.
I was
going to
say cabbage. That sounds so good.
We should talk about the Chuseok and Seollal.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about you guys with the Korean traditions?
Deokguk. Yeah, deokguk is basically a rice cake soup. So it's like the thing in Korea. When you eat deokguk, like if you eat each rice cake, you have like 1 year older. So yeah.
That's why you would fill up your tummy with all the rice cakes.
Like, younger me is gonna eat hundreds of rice cake and rice cake soup.
I feel like food's a big part of of culture in general.
Yeah.
Like, Filipinos are very family oriented. So whenever there's like a reason for our family, even if there's no reason, like my family is just always together because we have
always
a really big family.
Food.
I have a really big family, so like and there's always Filipino food. Like we always have Filipino food. Everyone always like brings their own dish, or like we all make it together.
And also, just food is a love language.
It is a love language. What are some ways that you think your guys's like Asian parents tried showing you love? Because in some ways, with a lot of Asian parents, like it isn't verbal. Like, you know, what do you think are some ways?
I actually wrote my supplementary essay to get into this program on that specifically.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote about my dad's kimchi bokkeumbap, which is kimchi fried rice, and how that was his way of expressing his love for me, because he's not very verbal about it. Like, it's very rare to hear him say, I love you, or anything close to that. But I noticed as I grew up that anytime I was sad or feeling down, he'd notice, and there would always be just a frying pan full of kimchi fried rice, because he knew
that
was my favorite.
Aww. Yeah. What about you guys?
I feel like my mom, she's really good at, like, my family is good at expressing, like, our love for each other, like, verbally. But, like, she definitely, like, a lot of acts of service, like, cutting up fruit and stuff. Or, like, just, like, doing stuff for me is, like, one of the big ways that she, like, shows that she cares.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jasper?
I don't know about my dad, but my mom is really like an expressive person. So she would say, like, even nowadays, like, because I don't live with my mom, so I FaceTime her like every day. And at the end of the FaceTime, like, she would just say, I love you, or like, and then she'll always ask me, like, where's my love you back? And I'm like, bye. And that's
No, Jasper!
Okay,
Jasper!
To me,
you right now.
To me, like, I can write it, but like seeing it, it's really like awkward and like.
So you're the Asian parent in this study.
I am. Yeah. My mom is really expressive.
Are you the first child?
I'm the maknae. I'm the youngest.
Come on.
And the maknae eats first, guys.
Do your role. You're maknae. Do your role.
I don't know. It's just really awkward. And like, to me, like since I have a job and like I'm making money, like, to me, like buying things for them, you know, those stuff so is like
my dad is the same way.
Yeah,
God, you're just like my dad.
I don't know, I can't really, I'm not really an expressive person, so like I feel like there's other ways to like show that I care and love them. And we're teasing you. So yeah.
I mean, in a way you are expressive, just like not in ways that are verbal, and that's fine. And I feel like it's sometimes hard to see the love from our Asian parents because of the values they instill, you know, just being strict or telling us to prioritize our education. That's definitely something common among all Asian parents.
And then I feel like we feel that way when we're children. And then as we grow up, we see the sacrifices they made, why they instilled those values. And we realize it's kind of like, it literally a love language, like learning and understanding and how to speak with them.
What are some differences that you guys kind of realized like growing up? Like, I know we mentioned like, you know, for Filipino culture, it's like prioritizing family. And then you guys were kind of just talking about in Korean culture, it was kind of just like every man like for their own. You kind of have to like experience
because it's like, I don't know, like it's a city life, feels like Korean society getting really dry and tough and less love because they're really working, like of course it's a good thing to like working hard, chasing your dreams like that, right? But still Koreans are kind of like losing their spirit of like what's the essentials of like being like fully full on life, right? Because like when you talked about like how Filipino families are really family centerized, I don't know, it feels like nowadays we're losing it. Like obviously because I'm also like living abroad and I'm kind of disconnected to all of my like relatives and also my grandparents as well. So, yeah, I think it's our, like, homework to do, like, to kind of restore those kind of spirit to our, like, society.
All of Asian Wave should come over to my house for kimchi and KBBQ.
Yes, please.
This is how we'll start restoring these values.
Yes.
I think a lot of it kind of comes with, like, the capitalist mindset of Korea. You know, you're just always having to work and always having to, like, think about work. And there's nothing else other than just working, you know?
Yeah, because, like, it feels like these generation getting, disappointed and depressed because, like, our older generation, they were more like they were just one specific like clear way to go. Just go to university, get your decent job, marry to someone else and have a family, and that's a pursuit of happiness, right? But these days there's so many things going on, and even if you like you were taught to be like go to university, get your job, marry, but even though you did that, you don't feel successful. You don't feel enough.
There's
that's no problem. There's no limit actually, but like back in like older generation, they were taught like that and they were like satisfied with their life. But these days I don't think how we taught isn't the way to satisfy our life. That's the problem. That's why like these generation, of course, like internationally, people have to like, I don't know, like it's really important to like keep our own traditional way, but still every generation had facing different like
difficulties.
Because for them I think money was survival, but for this generation the survival
isn't
part
about
is
money.
Human connection.
Yes, it's different.
I used to think it was kind of just a Western mindset, but I guess you kind of bring up a good point that it's more of our generation, you know, valuing connections outside of just, you know, education, work. I think moving on, did you guys ever have like identity problems growing up Asian and then living in like a Western country?
I mean, I think we all might have gone through the standard very bringing your lunches to school and then other kids acting like it was gross or smelly.
Yeah.
being called the C word.
Been called that so many
recess.
Times. I think maybe it's just for like us because we spent a lot of our elementary school life in Canada, a lot of our childhood in Canada. But like racism isn't just like a thing. I've constantly faced a lot of racism.
Yeah. Kids pulling their eyes back.
Yeah, kids pulling their eyes back. People calling me C-slur. There is this one guy. I feel like I'm trauma dumping. But like, there is this one guy in elementary school where he would like call me a hentai girl.
Oh my god. No, wait, that happened to me as
You're
well.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my
I do remember that.
Yeah, it's the like Asian fetishization.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't even, I don't even think it was fetishization in a way it was, but also it was just straight up just like making fun of, bullying.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I feel like also, growing up, like my mom, she would always pinch my nose.
Oh, my dad would do that to me too.
To check, because Filipino noses are always like so round and we don't really have a nose bridge. So she would always pinch my nose. I feel like that always made me like a little bit self-conscious about like how my nose looked compared to other people.
Should we tie it off? Do you want to talk about it briefly?
I can do what I wrote briefly.
Okay.
Because we are talking about Asian immigration and that we are proud of our culture and being immigrants, we wanted to bring more attention to the issue of ICE. There's a misleading, fear-mongering rhetoric that undocumented immigrants must be eradicated because they are quote-unquote illegal aliens or criminals. And there's a lot of people saying that, oh, you know, they should have just came here legally if they don't want to be deported. But I did some research before this episode, and according to the American Civil Liberties Union, many immigrants come for work and end up overstaying their visas, and that's how they end up being undocumented. But being undocumented in the States without a previous order for removal or unauthorized re-entry, it's not a crime under federal law. Federal immigration laws are supposed to be enforced through primarily civil proceedings, and in most evidence collected by academic studies, immigrants are actually less likely to commit crimes than other residents of the U.S. ICE is violently detaining and deporting people who just wanted to believe in the American dream. They're keeping people in medically neglected and abhorrent conditions. They're reducing fellow human beings and children to illegal aliens, which isn't even legally accurate. And they have killed innocent people. So we implore you to think critically and care because, Annika, do you want to say your points?
I think, you know, a lot of people might think, oh, why should we care? We're Canadian. It doesn't affect us. But compassion doesn't stop at purely just borders. Mm-hmm. Talking about ICE is not a matter of fact of... It's just generally just about compassion over punishment. They're just detaining people who aren't even criminals. People who just are just working to make a living. And it brings the question of, oh, what can we do as people, as Canadians? And the only thing we really can do, or at least the basics of it all, is just to educate ourselves, speak up, use your platforms, even if you don't have a podcast or anything like that. Everyone has social media, so everyone can just educate themselves. Look at articles, look at infographics. And just advocate for solidarity instead of just choosing to be silent, because immigrants are human beings, they're not aliens, and also nobody is illegal on stolen land. And I think that is something that is so important to us.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And we talk a lot about multiculturalism and being from different places, but I think kind of the moral lesson of it all is that we are all just human beings on the same planet.
So as kids of Asian immigrants and Asian parents, our experiences might look a little different, different cultures, different languages, different childhoods, but so much of what we talked about today connects
us. And I think that talking about this really shows how big and diverse the Asian diaspora is, but also how similar our experiences can feel in spite of it.
It's definitely comforting to know that we're not alone in figuring out who we are between two worlds. And these conversations help us appreciate our parents more, even if we don't understand them at the time.
Or a reflection that you want to share with us?
It was a great chance for me to talk about my culture, my background, and also got to know about all of your background and stuff you guys went through. And it was such a great time for me to express how I feel about the society, how I feel about my culture, and yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us, Jasper. Thank you, Jasper. Taking your shift off work to be here with
thank
us.
Thank you for having me today.
That wraps up this episode of Season 2. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our first episode of the season. And again, thank you, Jasper, for joining us today and sharing your story.
And be sure to follow us on IG at Asian Away Pod. And thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay curious, stay connected, and keep riding the wave of Asian culture.
Bye. Bye.